Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. My teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. I thank my God and Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine healing. Before we read our four foundational scriptures for this teaching, I want to once again state for the record that I am purposely reading these foundational scriptures each week so that the truth contained in these verses will penetrate not just your mind, but your spirit. Whereupon, in the future, when sickness and disease try to come against you, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance this living word of God. Then you can speak this blessed word over your challenges and drive Satan and his demonic assignments away from you. Before we complete this teaching, we will be discussing the importance of making daily faith confessions over ourselves and loved ones. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalms. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me. Bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. I want to repeat that last scripture, verse number 5. It says, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. That's something to shout about, family. And I trust that you are using these foundational scriptures in your personal time just to remind yourself of the glorious covenant you have in Christ Jesus. Now let's please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, but in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assume that he was stricken, struck down by God and degraded and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus. And by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, when evening came, they brought to him Jesus many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah, so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. Now let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Verse 24 says, he, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his stripes, Jesus' wounds, you who believe have been healed. All of these scriptures and many more like them that we have read and examined throughout this teaching tell us that Jesus took every sickness, every pain, every disease on himself. As a result, we believers do not have to accept Satan's physical attacks on mankind. We are healed in Jesus. On January 6, we began our examination of the seven redemptive names of Jesus Christ. We know from Scripture that the gift of salvation includes many benefits, which can be seen clearly in the seven redemptive names. For this reason, I have been sharing with you the meaning of these names and how they benefit the believer. I want you to know the richness of your position in Christ and live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Last week, we started the sixth redemptive name, which is Jehovah Nissi. That's N-I-S-S-I. And this name means the Lord our banner. The banner signifies the very presence of God who fights our battles. No matter how overwhelmed and desperate we may feel, we are not alone. Our great general, our great protector is with us always. In Jesus, we cannot be defeated. We got the victory, no exceptions. Let's go to my last verse for this name. So please turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 13. Verse 10 says, in conclusion, Be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him and in the power of His bounteous might. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Verse 13, therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious in Jesus. Wow. We are well equipped to stand against Satan, his demonic forces, and evil assignments if we come to know our rights in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go back to verse number 10, but before we examine this short passage, for those of you who may not know, the book of Ephesians is all about spiritual warfare, and it tells the new Christian, I'm talking about the New Testament Christian, about how to use the Word of God against our adversary, Satan, his evil forces, and his assignments. So we're only going to examine these four verses, but for those of you who are interested, the book of Ephesians, starting with chapter number 1, talks about spiritual warfare. All right, so verse number 10, I want to read that middle section of the verse that says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him. For those of you who do not know, the Him is referring to Jesus the Christ. So even when you feel weak, overpowered, overwhelmed, in Jesus, we got the strength to operate in His perfect protection and provisions. Verse number 11. This is instructions on what we must do. It says on the first part of that verse, put on the full armor of God. Now, I'm not going to be doing a full examination of spiritual warfare, but putting on the full armor of God means that you have taken the time to study God's word. You have understood the principles in which God operates. Then you can apply the word to your life. So you're going to have to find out those basic elements that create the armor. Very quickly, one of them, and probably most important, is to operate in faith. The faith that has been convinced and is operating in God's word with trust and confidence. All right, the last part of verse 11 says, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes, the strategies and deceits of the devil. When we have the full armor of God on us, then Satan cannot come against us and be successful. But that takes time and effort. So this is what we must do. We must study. We must come to understand God's word. And then most importantly, we're going to have to apply the word in faith. All right, verse number 12, very first part of the verse says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Now, Satan uses man to come against us. Could be our family members, could be the boss, could be the neighbors. It could be people from other parts of the community, and they will bring against all kinds of, try to bring against you all kinds of evil assignments. But your struggle is not against that person. Your struggle is against that demonic force that is causing them to operate in evil. So the way we come against the evil assignments, Satan and his demonic forces, again, using God's word, because that's where our strength comes from the living word of God. Let's drop down to the bottom of verse number 12. It says, again, as a reminder, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Then drop down to the end of the verse. It says, against, this is where our struggle is, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Now, here's good news for every Christian. We have already won the war. Jesus Christ completed that on the cross. But Satan will try to rear his ugly head against you. So you have to know what your covenant rights are and then apply that word against the circumstance, because he's hoping that you do not know that you got the word of God to combat him. So the way we come against Satan is with the word of God. Now, I do want to read verse 13 in its entirety, because it really sums up exactly what needs to be done on a daily basis. So let me read it from the top. It says, "Therefore, put on the complete armor of God." That's our job, is not to take off the armor of God, but to make sure that that armor is on us, so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious in Jesus. Notice that the victory is in Jesus. So we want to make sure that we know our covenant rights and then how to apply the word to our life. Amen. So in summary, Jesus is the Lord our banner. The seventh redemptive name we will examine is Jehovah Tzidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. Tzidkenu is spelled Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now, righteousness means right standing with God, and it was provided by the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, our Messiah. In other words, we have been delivered from the sin nature by accepting Jesus' gift of salvation and now have eternal life with God. Please turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he, the Messiah, shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and the people of Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord our righteousness, justice." Please turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, we're going to read verses 21 through 24. Verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God has been clearly revealed independently and completely apart from the law, though it is actually confirmed by the law and the words and writings of the prophets. This righteousness of God comes through faith in Christ Jesus for all those Jew and Gentile who believe and trust in Him and acknowledge Him as God's Son. There is no distinction, since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, and are being justified, declared free of the guilt of sin, made acceptable to God, and granted eternal life as a gift by His precious, undeserved grace through the redemption, the payment for our sin, which is provided in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise God. Again, we're talking about Jesus is our righteousness. Please go back to verse 22. I want to read that first part of the verse. It says, this righteousness of God comes through the faith in Christ Jesus for all those Jew and Gentile who believe. Are you a believer? Have you accepted the gift of salvation so that you can be justified before God through Christ Jesus? And it goes on to say, and trust in Him, referring to Jesus, and acknowledge Him as God's Son. That's what it tells us to do in Romans chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. If we want to receive the gift of salvation, we are going to have to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God and believe in your heart that He came to save you. I also want to read verse 24. I want to read basically the whole verse. Pay close attention because this does summarize what we're talking about. It says, and are being justified, declared free of the guilt of sin, made acceptable to God, and granted eternal life as a gift by His precious, undeserved grace through the redemption, the payment for our sin, which is provided in Christ Jesus. This lets us know that in order to get justified or righteous, we must accept the gift of salvation, which was provided for in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 17 through 20. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to Him by faith in Him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. But all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, making us acceptable to Him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to Him. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is, restoration to favor with God. Let's read last verse, verse 20. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making His appeal through us. We, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is something to shout about, family. I want to emphasize some of the key points that are made in this passage. So please go back to verse 17, and let's just read that first part of the verse that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to Him by faith in Him as Savior, he is a new creature. When we receive the gift of salvation, we become new in Christ Jesus. That's why it said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, to be strong in Christ, be strong in Jesus. Because when we accept the gift of salvation, we become just like Jesus Christ. And that is awesome, awesome. Verse 18, let's go to the middle part of that verse. It says, God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him. Again, I've said it in other teachings or other weeks. I've said that God sees us like Jesus. He does not see our faults. He does not see our shortcomings. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, he sees the Jesus in us that is perfect and complete. That's why we can stand before the Heavenly Father, knowing that in Jesus, we are perfect. Praise the Lord. So he has made us acceptable through Christ Jesus. And that is good news for every believer. All right, let's go down to verse 19. It says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is restoration to favor with God. I'm sorry, family, I am out of time, but please return next week as we continue our study, Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.